The Minister for the Environment, Climate and Communications and Transport, Eamon Ryan, is in our Oireachtas studio. Minister, good afternoon. And we'll talk about climate change and electricity later. But first, that High Court case in Belfast ruling that the UK's immigration law doesn't apply in some ways to the north, that asylum seekers north of the border on this island can't be sent to Rwanda. What's your reaction?
Well, we'll obviously have to read the judgment, first of all, and assess what implications it has. It is primarily a matter for the UK government in terms of how their act, how their Illegal Migration Act applies. But obviously, because we have an open border, because we have the Common Travel Agreement, we have to work in consultation with them to make sure that we have an effective and fair system. We separately have a lot of work to do in our own side of the border, in both providing more emergency accommodation, in continuing to amend the terms or the arrangements that apply so we can manage it fairly and effectively. There'll be a cabinet discussion on that tomorrow and a decision on further variations in some of the rules. But it has to be in the light of the international obligations we have to provide humanitarian shelter where it is appropriate.
In that review, is your government going to cut payments to asylum seekers and refugees here?
We'll have to wait the cabinet discussion tomorrow. We have made a number of changes. We introduced an act, the Civil Law Miscellaneous Provisions Act, in March this year, which did change the terms in which people coming from Ukraine looking for to be beneficiaries of temporary accommodation. We did change the payments there.
Yes, are you going to further cut them?
I expect that will apply to a wider category of people, not regardless of when they came to the country. So I think there will be some variations and some changes, and we do that at the same time that we know we have to provide additional accommodation for those seeking international protection. We have to do both to try and to manage this fairly.
Now, greater leadership, more action, that's what the Climate Change Advisory Council have called for from your government, from you to reach the country's climate targets, and in particular to increase the amount of electricity made from renewable sources. Their review of electricity found that the amount of new wind farm capacity added last year was very far short of what's needed to meet the country's climate targets, that's cutting emissions in half by the end of this decade, and that no new onshore wind projects were approved for an entire year before last September. Why not?
Because we didn't have sufficient resources in on board Panola, and on board Panola went through, as you know, a difficult period where the board had to be effectively reconstructed. That has happened now, and we are starting to see projects coming out of the decision-making process. I agree with what the Climate Change Advisory Council says. Our planning and legal system brings real uncertainty and cost and delay, and we do have to improve that. There is, as I said, a significant change following a year or two when there weren't any applications being approved or even turned down or considered in any effective way. We are starting to see them come through. A lot of those, in fact, pretty much all the wind projects through so far have been further judicially reviewed. So that is a real issue and a difficulty for us in terms of the time it takes and the cost for everyone, regardless of your position on the issue. The government is responding to that, not just in resourcing on board Panola, but also putting additional judges, the creation of the new environmental section within the High Court. And I think our key to success in terms of delivering the scale of renewables we can and must develop is to make sure we have the resources so we have speedy legal decisions so projects aren't costing us more because of that very lengthy delay.
A 21% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions from our electricity sector last year. But do you accept that that's deceptive, given that one of the main reasons for that was a 12-fold increase in the amount of electricity imported from the UK, with none of the emissions for that allocated to here?
Yeah, but that is, at the same time, a very welcome development, and it's part of, because of policy that the government is setting in place. I remember going back in my last time in the job as Energy Minister, we started the construction and delivered that east-west interconnector, which is now doing exactly what we designed it to do, which is to give us balancing capability.
Create emissions elsewhere.
No, because a lot of that wind or a lot of that energy will be coming, in fact, from a northwest European region electricity market. It may be coming from hydro, from Scandinavia, from nuclear in France or from the UK, as well as from other onshore renewable and offshore wind power sources. So having good interconnection is really key. And we're building at the moment a further interconnector between just north of Wales. It'll come ashore at Wexford. In fact, the cable is coming ashore as we speak. Similarly, we're building an interconnector to France, and that actually is part of the plan to decarbonise, to balance over a wider
system. But in terms of the electricity that's actually generated here, it's 20% more carbon intense than the EU average. And the Climate Advisory Council has said that it's crucial in order to change that balance that the use of coal to generate electricity is stopped by 2025. Can you guarantee that Ireland will stop burning coal to make electricity next year?
Yes, ESB are committed to that. Government has committed and has given clear direction and clear signal. We have to stop burning coal, and we will do that. And what we need to do is to build the alternative. And again, the Climate Advisory Council is right. That has to be both onshore and offshore wind. It also has to be solar and very significant storage capability. We are introducing, last year we'd an additional, for the first time really, we're starting to see solar ramp up. We also need a lot of batteries to give us that balancing capability. So we can and will do this. Energy and electricity is probably the area where I think we've got the most economic advantage from making this switch, and so it will happen.
Yes, but she does point out there's a long way to go before reaching the target of 9 gigawatts a year from wind and 8 gigawatts a year from solar. You mentioned about the suspension of coal from next year. When will oil be phased out, and when are we going to stop using it to make electricity?
It would be used in the future, not as a main source, but only in backup situations. For example, if you had a period of very cold period during the winter period when you might have high pressure and very little wind, you do need a small number of capable or facilities which allow us a backup power.
Okay.
But that's only a temporary measure. We are switching to renewable and storage and interconnection. That will power our country into the future.
Separately, the president of the GEA has accused your coalition partners, the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, of electioneering in their criticism of the GAA. Here's what Jarlath Byrne said on RT Radio 1 earlier.
Myself and Tom Ray and the Irish Juror last Wednesday actually had a meeting with the Sports Minister, Thomas Byrne, and all of his officials. We actually put that on the agenda, GAA ago. We asked him, were there any residual issues coming up regarding it? He said, no, we accept that GAA ago is an outstanding service, particularly for our exiles abroad. The previous week, I actually had a meeting with Pascal Donoghue in my own office in Croke Park. It was an excellent meeting. He has a great passion and understanding of the GAA. GAA ago didn't even come up. So, very, very surprised and disappointing that the Taoiseach and then the Taoiseach would actually speak about something that we have already been in front of an Arctis committee for. They were satisfied with our answers. It came up last week at a meeting. There were no issues. You would almost think there was an election coming up.
It's very strong criticism from the president of one of the largest volunteer organisations in the country. What do you think?
It's not electioneering. It's actually true. I think there's a real need and benefit when our people can see our games. They bring huge social benefits, and it's important that we do have access to them. I was formerly minister in charge of broadcasting back, as I said, the last time I was in government, and I ran into a lot of opposition when I made the case then that we should make sure that key sporting events are available free to air.
And they are.
Well, not to the extent that the Limerick Cork game wasn't readily available.
So do you want to extend that list?
I believe we should. I'm very glad that Catherine Martin, who's now in the position, has extended the free-to-air list. And in terms of my advice to the GAA, that is always when you maximise the opportunity of supporters to watch the games, particularly younger people or people maybe who are at home who don't have access to all the various different surfaces.
But most of the Munster Championship is available free-to-air. Do you want all the Munster Championship to be available free-to-air?
In my mind, such is the importance and scale of that competition as a cultural event for the country. I believe we should be looking at mechanisms when we do provide a free-to-air. We provide huge support to our sporting organisations, rightly in my mind, and the organisations themselves benefit from that community involvement. I think that is strengthened when people are able to watch games, and we should try and maximise that. That's not electioneering. I think it's a good thing for our country and our people.
Minister Eamon Ryan in our Oireachtas studio this lunchtime. Thank you.